Good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcoming you to the second hour of our last 2024 edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us. Family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up stream is go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on Listen Upper Left, and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And, hey, it is December 29th, it is the last Sunday of December, the last Sunday before the new year. And normally we'd be running an encore show because it's the last Sunday of the month, but there was an extra Sunday this month and we did the encore show last week. I took the week of Christmas off, and so we are here and we are live. And I'm delighted to say this is the first time we've ever been able to do a show like this. So, and I'm delighted because I think we have the most knowledgeable and informed people about animal stuff on the planet ever in the history of this world. And that, of course, would be Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. I continue to welcome you guys back to Animal World, and I just continue to be in amazement and awe of the two of you. I have no idea how you keep up with everything that you do and know everything that you know and compile all this stuff. I wish I could show to you everybody the list we've got and all the things that they've compiled for the year and then the stuff that they keep track of. It's absolutely amazing. So anyway, good morning, Merritt and Beth. How are you guys?
Morning,
good
Martha.
Good morning.
So then you guys come to us from Whidbey Island. And now we've already established the fact that over here, at least in the Bellevue Factoria area where Nathan is, and here in the Monroe Salton area where I am, it just be gray and raining. And that seems to be so. Same thing happening over on Whidbey. What's the weather doing over there?
Just gray.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not gonna be raining, but it will.
Well, I see all the it is actually raining here.
And our neighbor took a tree down in front of us.
So we've got twice the view.
Twice the gray.
Oh, okay. I had, isn't that interesting? Maybe we're in tune. Because PUD took out three of my 150-foot hemlocks just recently. And so I also have a bigger view of more gray.
We can see gray all the way to Anacortes.
Yeah.
Well, I still have forest all around, but I don't see that far. But my view is quite limited. So anyway, did you guys have a nice holiday last Christmas and so forth over there?
Excellent.
Yes, we did. We spent it working. But that's okay.
I think you guys work all the time. You must to keep up on all the animal stuff the way that you do. I'm most curious though. Did you know Henry Rooster and Arabella? You know his lady love. I'm wondering if they had a good Christmas and did the chickens get anything from Santa Claus and all of that?
Santa Claus visits them every single day of their life. But they're doing great. Unfortunately for Henry, I've put him on a diet.
Oh, okay. Do chickens get fat?
Let me just say, Henry's fat.
Okay, so roosters can get fat.
Oh, yeah, chicken. I think too many blueberries, so I'm cutting down his blueberries. Not joking.
How's he responding to the diet?
It's not a suffering diet. I'm just cutting down the blueberries.
Cutting down on the volume. All
and
right.
The corn, the fresh corn in the morning. I'm cutting down on the fresh corn.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I'm glad that they had a good Christmas and he can just join me. I need to be cutting down on probably more than the blueberries and corn.
Probably most of us.
Yeah. All righty then. Let's, in case somebody doesn't know, why don't you just give us a basic lowdown on animals24-7.org before we get started. So what's it all about?
We cover the animal news worldwide. I try to keep up with what the mainstream media is not covering that's important involving animals And most of the time, it's something that involves a lot of animals in a lot of places. We don't focus just on dogs or cats or individual animals for the most part. We look at big picture issues that you don't find in the big picture TV or newspaper or whatever.
Yeah. All right. All right. That makes a lot of sense. I know we have got kind of a big list to cover, and you have some major statistics on what would we call it, dog attacks or
Dog attacks.
dog attacks. Okay, so a major list, and you got it. It's kind of eye-opening information. I mean, because if you don't pay attention to this and follow it like Merritt and Beth do. I mean, you really don't know the numbers involved in all of this. And of course, we're going to devote a whole show to this later when we have time. We just didn't want to do a whole negative show about, aggression in dogs and breeds and attacks and all that stuff to end the new year. So we're going to give you all the statistics and the numbers, but we'll address the subject and a whole show at a later time.
Well, the short summary is that when I started doing this in 1982, there were fewer than 10 fatal attacks in the U.S. and Canada combined per year.
Wow.
This year of just yesterday tied the record at 71,
Wow.
most in a year. And over that time, very consistently, year after year from the first year, more than half of the attacks are by dogs in the pit bull category.
We're talking fatal and disfiguring
Yeah,
attacks.
this year
Yeah.
it's at 50 of the 71. Last year it was 58 of 71. And we expect that before the year's over, we'll have a couple more. We usually find out about a couple during the first week of the new year before we have a
Gotcha.
full
So it
year.
looks like we're breaking the records in terms of, so being entered, the numbers are kind of mind-boggling, and then when you look at the statistics, so it's speaking to like what Merritt said. We kind of do what the mainstream doesn't really look at and report on. When you put all these statistics together, there's some real commonalities in terms of breeds and breed types and all of that, and it's information that we all need to have and be aware of, because that we're usually only covering the rescues and the good side of all of these dogs and all of that, but there's a dark side that we need to know about and be aware of. So
Maybe
anyway.
a flip side too, a good news side is that in all these years, 42 years of tracking this stuff in depth and detail, there are a number of large dogs that have never come up. Irish Setter. We have never had an Irish Setter involved in a fatality. And yet it's been one of the top 10 breeds in popularity over all this period of time.
So there's the
But there's
the genetics, and predispositions in these ant dogs that are bred. I mean, there's a big difference. So that's real interesting because we can go into more detail on, when we do a whole show about it, and breeds that that are by history and evidence are safe and just don't do these kind of things. So very fascinating. But I think just in our limited discussion, I think we both kind of agreed that maybe the biggest story, animal story of the year, and the most important one we need to really be paying attention to relates to this bird flu stuff. Okay. And I was sharing with Nathan, this is the headline that came through my news feed yesterday. We, quote, have our head in the sand, unquote. Health experts warn US isn't reacting fast enough to the threat of bird flu.
absolutely.
That was the headline yesterday, Merritt. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I've been following H5N1 since it was first identified in
And
Hong
that is
Kong.
the bird flu.
Yes, that's the date. Well, all flus are originally bird flu. They all originate with migratory waterfowl.
Oh, really? All flus?
All flu.
Oh, crap. Well, see, now that's why we have to listen to them, because they know stuff that none of us know. Or
And
I
they all
didn't know that.
They've all been given a number, and there's a lot of flus that have been identified. So H5N1 is a particularly potentially deadly strain. It killed the first six people that were known to have gotten it. Now, after that, in order to spread, it has become weaker, but it appears to be very rapidly reaching the point where it can spread from mammal to mammal. And that the fact that it has appeared in cats is especially scary because of the proximity
Yeah.
we have to cats and the breadth of distribution of cats. Cats are everywhere. So if it's moving from cat to cat, we're next. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but I talked about this briefly on the Martha show just about a year ago when it turned up in seals here on Puget Sound, and it was believed to have reached the seals from migratory waterfowl dropping dead in the water, being eaten by seals. And I pointed out at that time that having jumped from migratory waterfowl who have nothing in common with seals, who are members of the Carnivora order, the same as cats, that it was beginning to come closer to us. Took a year, but now it's done that. And
So I guess you could fairly get away with, I told you so.
well, yes, it's an I told you so that goes back about 25 years. Compared to things like swine flu, this one's scary. And the scariest thing of all, other than going directly moving person to person, would be if it turned up in pigs. But turning up in cats is a pretty close second.
Well, and one of the things that I get confused about and concerned me is that, I always th think of the flu as something that, if you get too close to someone who has it and you breathe it in, or you're in there somebody's home and you get it virus on your hands and you touch your face. And but I've always said that's how flu is transmitted. But this recall that we just covered, the Northwest Naturals raw turkey food. It was only two batches, but apparently a cat ate raw turkey meat that somehow had the virus in it, and the cat got sick.
So this has turned up now all over the
So
country.
I'm so you can I didn't realize that you could get flus from like eating the body of someone, an animal that had the flu. But
Particularly.
that's really scary.
Well, then the next thing, the cat sneezes. Well, cats sneeze all the time. Cat sneezes on you. It happens
Yeah.
all the time. You
Look
don't
at your
worry about
mirror. The
it.
cat sneezes on the mirror. Yeah, now do we have it? Is there any evidence yet of the H5N1, the bird flu going directly from like a cat to a human?
No, there's no evidence yet of mammal to mammal transmission, but it's one small mutation from that. There are 64 farm workers in the US who have gotten it from livestock. 63 of them are known to have gotten it from working with dairy cattle who were infected. One of them was working with poultry who were infected, and that guy, the last we heard, was in critical condition at a hospital in Texas. The ones who got the dairy variety seem to be recovering fairly well because apparently, in passing through cattle, which are again a fairly far removed from waterfowl and also evolutionary far removed from us, it seems to have become weakened. But that's another scary thing because it turns out that it survives in raw milk. And there's a lot of people that drink raw milk, think it's better for them. Well, raw milk is a perfect incubator for viruses, and
Yeah, and that's one of those dicey areas again, because and I could make a case on either side, because I personally I don't drink cow's milk. I mean, my own personal view is that cow's milk is made for baby cows, and not and anyway, and but nonetheless, I have one of our listeners that we hear from regularly is extremely sensitive. I call her my human Geiger counter because she reacts and feels everything. It's related to a very difficult birthing process when she was born. So it's a lifelong thing, and she's extremely sensitive. So very few things that she can eat or is allowed to, but she can't have pasteurized milk and that kind of stuff, but she can get raw milk. She can drink raw milk, and it's one of the few things that she can do that she doesn't react to. But now it's like with this, I mean, because she can't, even if there was a vaccine or something, she can't take it because her body, it would kill her.
There was also
Really tough for someone like that, because now, I mean, she really should not be drinking any raw milk, but that's the only kind she could, drink. So, I'm sure there are other people like her. But it's a real issue right now, because we know that it can be transferred through raw milk.
That's not the only thing. There's also a national recall right now of raw milk products from the largest raw milk farm in the country near Fresno, California. That's not because of H5N1, it's because of more familiar contamination. But H5N1 has also, I understand, been found in samples from that particular dairy. And it's really everywhere up and down the Pacific Northwest Flyway. The birds leave the droppings behind and the cattle get it through their hay.
Merritt and I witnessed something at the beach down the hill here. A bald eagle had gotten a hold of a seagull. I don't know whether the bald eagle had grabbed it from the water, but we didn't witness this part. Took it to the nest. I guess the family ate the seagull. And then to clean the nest out, the eagle came and dropped it back in the water. So if that seagull
Was
had
cont
H5N1, now we've got the eagles ingesting it and the babies, the seals that are in the water. So that's sort of one way of how it's
passing around.
moves,
And
yeah.
that's not preventable. You can't prevent nature from being nature. What
Right.
you do is somehow build a barrier between yourself and what's harmful, which is what the pasteurization process does. It's basically building a barrier between you and something that's going to be out there anyway, no matter what you do.
Okay. Well, now, timing wise, we need to take care of advertisers. Keep Nathan happy, or we'll see he'll start squirming. So we're going to do that, but there's one, I have a major concern related this bird flu thing. Just going to throw it out there, and maybe we can talk a little bit about it when we come back, before we go on to the rest of the stuff. But my big concern is, when COVID started, we know, and at least I trust this information from Bill Gates. Early on, and throughout the pandemic, he did state unequivocally, because Gates and the Gates Foundation works with all this kind of stuff, but he said unequivocally, he said, if we as a country, the United States, if we had done everything we knew how to do at the time, at the beginning, we would not have had to go through the horrible, the millions of deaths and all that sort of stuff with COVID. And examples like, they stopped Ebola, because got on it, and sort of thing. But w at this point, with all the misinformation and negative stuff coming out from the Trump administration, now we have a country that half the country doesn't believe in science, doesn't even pay attention, try to tell them to do anything like wear a mask. That's how simple is that? Nobody's going to do that. So my big concern is, what the heck is going to happen when this bird flu does
Well, I
start?
understand.
Anyway, so that's my big concern, is that we have created such an argument in the country, and there are so many people that just don't. Anyway, we'll come back and talk a little bit about that, and maybe you can put me at ease, and maybe not. But I'll see. Well, I want to see what Merritt and Beth have to say about my biggest concern here. Is that all right? Excuse my language, and Nathan, you can dump me if you need to. But from my perspective, if the bird flu does what it looks like it's going to do, we're screwed. Bottom line. All right. I don't know. Let's see if maybe there's some hope for Merritt and Beth, but let's take care of advertisers. We'll come back and find out. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com. Now.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? Keep your dial on Alternative Talk 1150.
Let him go. Oh, it's just so much fun. Well, anyway, Nathan's found a way for us to milk the holiday jingle cats another week. We've decided, Merritt and Beth, that we are going to celebrate the 12 days of Christmas. And that won't be over until the day after our next show. So we're going to milk this. And what we're going to play because Jingle Cats, what do they do, Nathan? The Three Kings
of
Orientar.
The We Three Kings of Orientar, yep.
Yeah, so we're going to milk it one more week. Anyway, hey, everybody. We are in the middle of a conversation with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. Just to let you know, we did hear from our wonderful Dr. Nels Rasmussen, and you can check him out at Healing Ministry for Animals. He always does a free telephone evaluation. So if you are curious about could he help you, your animal friends, with what's going on, you can go to his website, healingministryforanimals.com, click on the contact link and say, hey, heard Martha talking about you. I want to talk to you about my whatever. He will arrange a phone call. And if you join his private group, which only costs $10, then doing all kinds of free webinars and classes on Zoom. And I did a free class. We did a basic communicating with animals 101. I did that for free for the group in December. And gosh, it was fun. And they loved it so much. Now he's found out, of course, I used to teach these classes and I haven't taught since the pandemic. He's working on figuring out a way that he can set up my classes and we can do them on Zoom. That would be kind of fun. So anyway, Dr. Nels Rasmussen, healingministryforanimals.com. Check him out. And if you need help with your dog friends, as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, I can help you and help you quickly. And I always do a free telephone evaluation. So pass my number out to anybody you know has problems with their dogs. Tell them to call Aunt Martha because I can fix it fast in most cases. Anyway. Pass out my number, 360-217-7258. 360-217-7258. All righty then. It is the last Sunday of 2024, so it's our last show of the year. We are Blessed to be able to wrap it up this year with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org, and a great list of all the statistics from 2024 and the big stories. And lo and behold, we figured the biggest and most critical story of the year is going on as we speak, and that's the bird flu. But of course, Merritt's been warning us about this for some time. At any rate, you know, my concern is that we humans have just really messed up the detail with all of this. And we've kind of put our intelligence on the back burner and are not looking at how important it is to get united as a country. You know, if something like this happens, these things have been studied for decades. And unlike we found out with COVID, if we had done what we know how to do immediately when we could have done it, a lot of this could have been prevented. And the same thing could be true with the bird flu, but it's already showing up in humans. And what's happening for the humans that have been getting it, Merritt and Beth, what's happening with them? Is it killing people?
Well, it's killing some, and some get better.
Okay. So
as it weakens in order to move from, as this occurs, in order to move from animal to animal, human to human, the death rate per infection drops. But one of the issues of concern is the silent infection that people get. They don't feel good for a few days, or birds get, or cats. But they can be carriers of virus without actually having the effects. And then it hits somebody who is susceptible to it, and they die. I wanted to point out that what the U.S. has been doing in response to H5N1 so far has been mostly culling poultry. 124 million chickens culled, for example, over the last 2 years, because when one chicken in a barn gets it,
they kill everybody.
Right. They're all very susceptible. But the thing that should be scariest of all about this is those poultry barns are very secure. They have roofs on them, and the chickens never get outside. So they're not having easy direct exposure. They're being exposed primarily by cockfighters who work in these barns and come back in the barn, and they've got little flecks of infected, you know, of virus material on their shoes, their coats, their boots, and it easily passes to the chickens in the poultry barn. And this is no mystery. This is something that's been known ever since H5N1 spread through Thailand and the Philippines and Indonesia way back in 2003 and killed 300 people. Cockfighting to poultry, and then it can come back to people. But the poultry themselves are raised in very secure conditions compared to ourselves. We're out and about.
Well, another one of the, you know, that the headline I read you from my newsfeed came through yesterday. In that article, one of the things they said they were really concerned about was people getting the flu and then the bird flu at the same time. And that somehow when that happens, the viruses can get mixed up.
Reassortment.
That's what they called it. What's that all about? Because they were saying, well, you know, you really need to get vaccinated against the flu so that you don't get that in case you do. But of course, the people that are going to be most likely to get exposed and stuff are the ones that aren't going to vaccinate anyway. So I feel kind of good, at least, you know, because I got my flu shot this year. I don't take vaccines together. So I did my COVID booster. And then 2 weeks later, I went back and got my flu shot. So I know at least I'm covered there. But what's this reassortment? If you get the flu and then you get the bird flu, what's this reassortment business?
Think about it as a deck of playing cards, and that's an ordinary flu with the different combinations of virus in it. Now you throw in another deck of playing cards and you shuffle them together, and then you throw in another one. Each time you're basically drawing a wild card. You don't know which deck it's from. And you can mix and mingle them, and you can have all your same suits and all the same numbers, but now it's basically a different deck. This goes constantly. Most of the time, it's harmless, but every once in a while, you draw the ace of spades or whatever it is.
Joker.
Yeah, the Joker.
Joker.
And that's what potentially puts you under. Now, the difference between this and a deck of cards is viruses can replicate themselves, and they evolve to move as rapidly as possible from one host to another, as easily as possible. Viruses, if you could say they have a preference, they don't like to kill their host because they're living things too. They want to survive. So they evolve to be milder to not kill their host, but in the process of doing that, they begin to infect more and more hosts, and some of those are susceptible. And the thing with H5N1 is we don't know how large a portion of the human population are susceptible. Right at this point, we don't have a clue. What we do know is that the potential is there for this to be as bad as, for example, the Spanish flu. I used to live near a little town called Farnham, Quebec, population 4,000. 5,000 people died there of the 1918 influenza, and it has never grown back to the same size. So I've been acutely aware of that for a long time.
Wow. All right. So it seems that it is important that we pay attention to what's going on with this bird flu and what we're learning. It sounds like we already know kind of the bird flu that maybe transfers to cattle and goes through cows and then to humans. It seems to be a lesser virulent or whatever strain.
Of course, we don't have a cow in the living room. We do have a cat.
Right. So there's going to be new information all the time. It's changing all the time. So you need to pay attention because there may come a time that there's not a united front, but if you're aware of what's going on, you can do a better job of protecting yourself and your family and that sort of thing. I find this very frustrating that we could be doing a much better job. Now you guys cover the H1 or H5N1 virus and what's going on, right? So one way that you can stay on top of this and not have to rely on mainstream media, which we already know is kind of dropping the ball on all of this. But if people go to animals24-7.org and sign up for your newsletter, then we will get the latest information as you report on it, correct?
We try to keep up with it. There is also another very good source. It's called ProMed, online e-list. It's kind of an old-fashioned format, but it includes something like 75,000 public health veterinarians worldwide. Oh. It can be very technical, but I monitor that every single day, and I look at every single posting, and I have ever since 1994 when I was one of the very first members. And that's really the frontline information exchange if you really want to get the latest.
They document emerging diseases.
Right. ProMed stands for Program for Monitoring Emerging Diseases.
Oh, wow. What, ProMed.com or something like that?
ProMed Mail.
Yeah, ProMed Mail.
M-A-I-L. ProMed Mail.
It's a listserv that was founded actually by Jack Woodall, now deceased, and Barbara Hatch Rosenberg, a Nobel Prize winner. Back in 94.
But these are scientists and professionals that study emerging diseases. But if you don't trust science, then you're not going to listen to the experts. That's a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem. And concern and especially I'm really for our cat friends, because I'm hearing stories and I just saw it. I didn't have a chance to pick it up because it just crossed quick. But I thought I saw a story of maybe a sanctuary or something of big cats, maybe in Oregon. I can't remember, but that the bird flu wiped out like 20 of all the big cats, like 20 or more of them. Do you know that story?
Harstein Island. That's just a few miles from Seattle, near Bainbridge Island, a little north of Bainbridge Island.
It's right here
Island.
In Washington.
And as the crow flies, it's actually very close to here, but there's water between us and them. This is a, it's called Wild Felid Advocacy Center. It's been going, I believe, since 2006. And it killed everything there from servals and tigers. Not an African lion, but a couple of mountain lions.
Cougars.
Yeah, the whole range of cat species they had there were hit.
So cats are very vulnerable to this virus, obviously.
Also, two pumas have been found dead of it in the Olympic Mountains.
Wild.
Oh, wow. Wild ones. So this stuff is getting around. And of course, we know of the recall of the Northwest Naturals that contaminated turkey. So I know, you know, there's a lot of people that feed raw food to their cats. And you know, I'm wondering, you know, what the companies are doing. You know, are they now testing, you know, the raw food before they is there a test? I mean, there must be a test. You can test to see if the virus is in the food. So because this all came down this weekend, it's holidays and all of that. Our local company is Natural Pet Pantry. And that's where I get my raw food from. But anyway, I'm going to be on the phone to the owner after the show. And I'm going to have a report for next week to find out what are they doing to make sure that their food is not contaminated. Because are you making any recommendations at this point, what people should do to protect themselves or their kitties and their animals?
Raw.
Yeah, I'd say don't feed raw is very important, because heating to 400 degrees will kill the H5N1.
That's what I've heard, that if you cook the food, it will destroy the virus.
And most companies that make pet food do cook it in the process of making it.
But unless it's raw food.
Something that is somewhat protecting us right now, but won't forever, is that there are two distinct puma populations in this area, one that lives east of I-5 and the other that lives west of I-5. And it's been a very long time since they've met and mingled.
Oh.
Basically, since I-5 was built, they've not met and mingled. And it's the population west of I-5 so far that has the bird flu. But they're not getting it from each other. They're getting it from birds that are dropping dead or they're capturing along the Pacific Flyway. And it's just a matter of time till the pumas on the east side of I-5 begin getting some of those birds too. Particularly the ones that I would really worry about would be the snow geese. They're just about to start coming south. They're big. They're a good meal for a cat. And this is when we may just see it cross over into the pumas on the east side of I-5. Now, when that happens, those pumas may in turn start passing it into other species that they have contact with, including, you know, free-roaming domestic house cats. They sniff each other's poop. A puma will eat a domestic house cat if it can catch it. So not to scare everybody to death over everything, but we do have to keep our eyes open. And if your cat gets an upper respiratory disease, have it checked out.
Yeah. And this is, you know, and we don't talk about this stuff to promote fear, but it's important to know the truth. And so that you are prepared and can be responsible, at least for yourself and your family and your animal friends, and not be part of the problem here, you know, which is ostrich head in the sand, like that, you know, headline. We do need to pay attention. I mean, the more that we know, you know, the safer we can be. And anyway, I'm going to be in touch with the owner of Natural Pet Pantry, find out what they're doing or what they recommend. And if you do, you know, feed your cats raw food, like Merritt said, you don't necessarily have to throw the food out or not feed it, but you might want to consider cooking it, you know, for a while, because cooking will take care of the problem.
Well, the raw food industry has convinced people that who love their animals and want to do the best for their animals, that that's what the best is. But that's not necessarily so. And it's understandable that people who love their animals don't necessarily trust a lot of these dog food companies because of what we've heard goes into it. But in my opinion, the raw food is a fad, but it's done with love, that the owners of these cats and dogs just want to do the very best for their dogs. And in my opinion, it's better if the dog likes the food and is eating it, and it's cooked and it's safe. I mean, you're better off just buying human grade turkey and beef, in my opinion, and cooking it for them.
Then, well, except I can throw a major wrench into the works of that sort of thing in terms of, you know, the studies that I'm aware of in terms of when we check human prepared raw chicken plants and all that sort of thing compared to raw food that's being produced for animals. There's like, there's no comparison. The human meat we get is far more contaminated than the animal stuff that's used for raw food. And, you know, technically, and this, of course, we can, you know, get into this sort of thing. But, you know, technically, when these people wanting to feed raw, you know, technically, they're correct. You know, our dogs in the wild, if they're being wild, they eat raw.
They're not,
okay?
But we have
to consider everything going on and be balanced and reasonable in what we're doing. And it may be right now that feeding raw is not the safest way to feed your animals because of what's going on with these sorts of things. So
to come at this from a completely different direction, dogs have very low susceptibility to most viral diseases because they're scavengers.
Right, right.
Down disease, whatever. So your dog is going to be alive a long time after your cat if you have exposure to H5N1. There's not a case on record yet of a dog contracting because they have these very powerful multiple mechanisms.
Right.
With infections in carcasses. And they're scavengers and they eat poop. But you don't find a cat doing that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a difference. So, you know, basically it's we need to educate ourselves, and then you have to make the responsible choices for yourselves and your animal friends. But not everybody agrees on all of this. But nonetheless, we may have to be rethinking what we are feeding and how, you know, how we're preparing the food related to the current developments and what's going on in the planet and this all this virus stuff. So anyway, I think we have done what we can do with this subject this week. We need to take care of advertisers before we run out of time in the hour. And we've got to get going with our other lists. So let's do advertisers, and then maybe we can do all the statistics stuff for this hour. And then we can get into the list of all the stories, next hour. So anyway, stay right where you are, everybody. We're taking care of advertisers. We continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you? What's going on in your personal life? Or shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt, caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com. Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Easy on the ears, good for the soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
Oh, thank you, Jingle Cats. Woohoo! Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down the second hour of our last 2024 edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from Natasha Venter. She is our medium communicator, personal awareness coach, astrology, and feng shui person, and general psychic stuff. Okay. She does a podcast every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. You can find it on her YouTube channel, which is Natasha Venter IC for intuitive clarifications. Natasha Venter IC. Her website is intuitiveclarifications.com. And she's available for private readings in person, remotely, I mean, on phone, you know, Zoom, however it works out for you. And of course, she joins us here on the air the third Sunday of every month. And so third Sunday of January be the next time you can hear her on air. You can check her out at intuitiveclarifications.com or give her a call at 360-770-7486. 360-770-7486. Remember Jude Ponton, our premier sound healer at Whispering Dragon Center in Shoreline. She's available to take new clients, can work with you in person, which is so, so good, or remotely. Check her out, whispering-dragon.com, Whispering Dragon Center online. And remember, she did a wonderful sound attunement for the solstice that you can listen to on either the Animal World Facebook page or my personal page or the Whispering Dragon website as well. Anyway, you can give Jude a call at 206-706-2836. And if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. If you're interested, shoot us email. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty then, we are back, and we've been talking to Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org, our most knowledgeable people on the planet about animal stuff. And we got a lot of stuff to cover, but in the few minutes we have left in this hour, you guys compile statistics over the year. And I think the biggest list, of course, is what we started to talk about last hour a little bit, would be dog attacks and so forth going on. So what have you got statistic-wise that we need to be aware of for 2024?
On other topics. Wow.
On dogs. Dogs on dogs.
But you repeat what you said about the, you know, what dog bites and fatal attacks and that sort of thing, because the numbers are really going up.
We've tied the record for fatalities, which was reached last year, 71 U.S. fatalities. Last one was a little girl in Cincinnati. When I started tracking this back in 1982, we had under 10 a year, basically for the first decade. Then they started zooming. And almost every year now, there is an increase. to where 10 years ago we were alarmed because the numbers were going over 40 a year. Well, now it's over 72 years in a row.
Wow.
And of these attacks, ever since the first year, more than half have been by pit bulls. So far this year, it's 50 known pit bull fatalities. Last year, it was 58. This year, there have also been 5 fatalities to which there were no witnesses, so the dogs were not identified. So if anything, the pit bull number might be
higher.
Yeah. And several of these are reservation attacks, and those can be really bad because the res dog population historically were fairly small, innocuous mutts, and they didn't kill people. But now they've gotten the pit bull genetics into the res dog population, and every year we're getting a couple. This year, I think it's 5 so far, of people going about their business on the reservation and get attacked and torn to shreds. Time was when I started, the only time anything like that happened was in the far north when it was huskies that were running amok and they would kill a child. I expected at that time that that would be the majority of fatal attacks. Well, it wasn't. It never has been.
Huh.
But we're now having that kind of thing happening on reservations all over the country, and it's not German Shepherds. Excuse me, it's not huskies anymore, and it's not German Shepherds either. Crossbreeds that are part pit bull in packs.
Amazing.
And that's only the human toll. That doesn't include people's pets, farm animals.
We do also track animal fatalities or dog on animal fatalities. I haven't yet worked up the numbers for this year, but very consistently over the years, we've been doing this now for about 10 years for attacks on animals. Very consistently, it's been close to 90% by pit bulls, with other dogs being the most frequent other victims. And then after that, you have more or less equal attacks on cats and farmed animals, mostly kept as pets, people's pet donkeys, mini horses, zebus, goats, sheep. Before we began tracking this, incidentally, U.S. Department of Agriculture tracked this for just a couple of years, and our numbers and theirs seem to show fairly consistent results, with the difference is that we've always tracked by breed. They simply track by dog. A dog is a dog.
Mm.
That is also, by the way that I started tracking them 4 years before starting the breed-specific log in 82. I was just tracking a dog is a dog. And I came to realize the dog is not a dog. Different breeds have different traits. They attack in different manners. They have a different prey range. And one of the unique aspects of the pit bull is their prey range doesn't seem to have a top end. They won't attack a horse. Most dogs won't go near a horse because a horse to a dog can be a very dangerous animal.
It's interesting. There's a lot of theories on evolution and dogs' development and that sort of thing. And one is that with the dogs descending, from wild wolf type things, that some breeds arrested in development at certain stages.
Absolutely.
And that like our best family pet type dogs, like your Goldens and your Labs sort of thing, they say they arrest at the adolescent stage.
Right.
but then your working breeds and herding these things, evolve higher in the evolution, so that they are, have different traits. But so anyway, different breeds of dogs do have different genetic tendencies and codes and what comes through. And I don't think there's not always 100% agreement on everything, but, we do know that different breeds behave differently. And of course, then you get all the mixes of, different genetics and so forth. But, there's definitely a truth here that is not necessarily being looked at responsibly by the animal lovers and supporters and activists and so forth. And I can make a case on either side, but it's hard to argue with the fact that you know, you compile all these statistics and the vast majority are done, you know, by pit bulls. So when you have communities or places that say, you know, we just don't really want them here, that isn't as bad a decision as we might think it is, you know, and for some, it may be a responsible decision. So I think we have to, again, let aside a lot of our judgment and getting mad at each other. And we need to get real about looking at what's really going on and making responsible choices. And anyway.
One thing to remember is when we talk about 500 years of dog breeding, selective dog breeding, a dog generation is only 1 year. A human generation is 18 years in statistical terms. So the distance between us and a dog of 500 years ago is the same as the distance between us and a human being of 9,000 years ago, which is when we last still all had a common ancestor.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so period of time, we have evolved all kinds of different racial characteristics, height, weight, all kinds of differences. Well, dogs have done the same thing in a much shorter time, and they have managed to diverge, actually, in that period of time, much farther in behavior and physical traits and everything else than human beings have.
Wow. All right. Well, let's close out hour number two and fire up hour number three. And we are, of course, going to enjoy Auld Lang Syne with the Jingle Cats one more time. And I didn't necessarily energize up Auld Lang Syne, but Nathan said, energize up the new year coming in for us. So that's what we're doing here, is energizing up our transition from 2024 to 2025 and hopefully pushing us into more positive stuff. So here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our soul and all souls with thy ever new joy. Oh, eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the new year 2025. And stay right where you are, everybody. Auld Lang Syne coming up, and we continue for another hour with animals24-7.org. Merritt and Beth, stay with us right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.